I'm Sarah Lippman. Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be learning Sefer Mishle, Proverbs chapter 6. We will be using the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as the overall basis for our study. In this chapter, our eyes are brought to the contrast between holech, halicha, going, progressing towards a goal, and shena, sleeping. Variants of the word holech, going, appear 6 times in this chapter. That's 4 times more frequently than they do in the rest of the book of Mishle, and 4 times more frequently than it appears elsewhere in Tanakh. The word shena, sleeping, only appears 3 times in this chapter. However, that's 11 times more frequently than in the rest of the book, and 147 times more frequently than in the rest of Tanakh. Shena, sleeping, of course, being a less common word than halicha, walking. Let's start with holech, going. The first instance of the word going, lalechet, being used, appears in Bereishis chapter 2, verse 14. V'shem hanahar hashlishi chidekel, hu haholech kidmas ashur. The name of the third river is chidekel. It is the one that goes, or flows, east of Ashur. V'hanahar harevi'i hu feras, and the fourth river is peras. So this first use of the word holech, going, is clearly not talking about somebody walking. It's not about moving legs. It's about the progress of the river, the movement from here to somewhere else. Similarly, leholich, the construct to direct the progress of another or to lead them. So laleches means to go. It means to progress from one place to another or from one state to another, to direct oneself in progressing towards a goal. Laleches can also indicate the determination required to take the step forward. In contrast, we have shena, sleeping. Shena, sleep, is related to yashan, old. Ishon, the darkness of night or the blackness of the eye. Shnaim, a second level or a phase. Yashan means old, not old in age, but lacking freshness, sparkle, and strength. Yashin is weak and languid. Thus, shena, sleep, is a time when a person is weak. They're tired. They're lacking freshness. You cannot see the sparkle and the strength. The first use of the word shena is in Bereishis, chapter 2, verse 21. Vayapel Hashem Elokim tardema al ha'adam vayishan. And God cast a slumber on the human, and he slept. Vayikach achas mitzal osav vayiskor basar tachtana. And God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. So although we think of sleep as a phase in which a person does not and cannot progress, this first sleep, this shena vayishan, is purposeful. Adam is not sleeping because he is tired or fatigued or has overexerted. Adam is sleeping for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, in this case, is the creation of Chava, Eve, his wife. We can get another angle of insight to sleep from the definition of waking up. We see that first in Bereishis chapter 28, verse 16. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso, and Yaakov awoke from his shnaso, his sleep. Vayomer, and he said, Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Surely God is sensed in this place. Vanochi lo yadati, and I did not know it. Ketz means the end point. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso. Yaakov awoke from his sleep. Ketz, an end, awakening, or kaitz, like summertime, the end of the growing period when the harvest can begin. Similarly, ketz, the end of sleeping, is the moment when a person has absorbed enough strength from their sleep in order to disconnect from the rejuvenation of sleep and go out and lead an active and independent life. One thing we gain from the definition of awakening is an understanding that sleep, then, is a safe haven in which a human being receives energy and sustenance, freshness, sparkle, and strength for independent function. One of the great mysteries of life is, why do we need to spend so much of it sleeping? Waking and sleeping both have uses in this world. Waking and sleeping, light and darkness, day and night. The light, the day, awakens everything to individual life and growth, to activity, to progress. The darkness, the night, the sleep, is the opportunity for the forces to penetrate and work within ourselves. We relax from stimulation, we are not active, and we consolidate within. We might compare that to the root of a plant, which is a child of darkness. The stem, the leaf, the blossom, the produce, is the child of the light. All forms of life begin with darkness and gain their strength in darkness, and all forms of life mature to independence in the light. In a Jewish calendar, we count our days as a night followed by a day. Therefore, Jewish holidays always begin the evening before, and Shabbat candles are lit on Friday as the sun sets, beginning the Shabbos. For example, in the description of creation in the first chapter of Bereishis, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, and it was evening, and it was morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, and so on. This night-day pattern is the day unit of creation. It is the day unit of our life in this physical world. In this chapter, we have verse 4, which says, Al titein shena le'enecha usenuma le'afapecha. Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. The words of this verse are nearly identical to the words of a blessing we say in the morning prayers. Thanking God, Hamavir Shena Me'enai Usanuma Me'afapai. Thanking God for taking away sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. It's also almost identical to the blessing we say before going to sleep at night, the Bracha of Hamapil. Blessing God, Hamapil Chevle Shena Al Einai, who casts the bonds of sleep onto my eyes, Usanuma Al Afapai, and slumber upon my eyelids. Whereas Mishlei warns us not to let ourselves sleep, we see here that we both thank God for giving us sleep and thank God for removing sleep. So let's try and get a little better perspective on sleep. Night is the time of shena, of sleeping. It's a time when we rebuild our strength, we prepare ourselves for the day ahead, and we recharge. Daytime is the time of constructive, active service of God, through all our actions and activities. Our activities in the daytime are the purpose, and night prepares us for it. This is true on every scale of life. The night of the physical is preparatory for our soul's awakening into a daylight of its future life. A baby emerges from a darker life in the fetus to a brighter life in this world. Nationally, there are cycles of exile followed by redemption, and it's true as well on the smaller scale of each day. What's the significance of this mindset? If I think of night as following the day, then I'm thinking, I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. I need to rest and recover from the activity of the day. In that mindset, my sleep is not productive. It has no active purpose. It's just an unfortunate necessity due to my human weaknesses and limitations. Sleep might be something to try and avoid, something I'm embarrassed of. In this mindset, sleep is about easing my tiredness, finding relief and rest, which is essentially, while necessary, self-seeking and selfish. Whereas, if I have the mindset that my night precedes my day, that day follows my night, then I'm going to sleep in order to gain strength for tomorrow's activities. If so, then even during those 6, 7, 8 hours of unconsciousness, I'm being productive. I'm absorbing strength and energy. I'm preparing. I'm building for constructive work ahead. Even my sleep gains value and meaning when I see it as preparatory to the activities of the following day. Furthermore, if I understand my sleep as a receiving time, as a recharging time, as purposeful, then there's real motivation to wake up in the morning and do something with it. Sleep's purpose is fulfilled when I am recharged. Sleep's purpose is fulfilled when I have the energy I need to be active. Sleep's purpose is fulfilled when I get up. Shlomo HaMelech warns us not to hit the snooze button. The problem is not that a human being sleeps. That's unavoidable. The problem is how a human being sleeps. Are we sleeping as a form of laziness, avoiding work, avoiding growth, avoiding development? Is it simple physical indulgence? Because that kind of sleep for its own sake, just leads to more and more of itself and less actual time spent living. That's day leading into night. Whereas sleep, for the purpose of tomorrow's energy, night leading into day, fuels energy to get up, to go, to do as much as God will grant me to do. In that miracle of sleep, when we take in nothing physically new and yet wake up with renewed energy and strength, we learn to thank God for being able to receive and for the gift of sleep. And we thank God for the gift of being able to give and do, for the gift of returning us to active life. With all this in mind, then, let's take a look at how Shlomo HaMelech uses the terms Holech, go, and Shena, sleeping, in this chapter. Verse 3, Aseh zos efo b'ni v'hinatzel, ki vasa b'chafreyacha. Do this, therefore, my child, and be rescued, if you have come into your fellow's hands. Lech hisrapes urahavreyacha. Go, humble yourself, and let your fellow be superior. Verse 4, Al titein shena le'enecha usanuma la'afapecha. Give not sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Verse 6. Lech el nemala atzel. Go to the ant, lazy person. Re'e durachecha v'chacham. See its ways and gain wisdom. Verse 7. Asher ein la katzin shoter u'moshel. That although she has neither officer nor guard, no ruler over her. Verse 8. Tachin bakayitz lachma. She prepares her food in the summer. Agrava kotzir machala. And gathers her food in harvest time. We'll discuss more about this parallel of the ant when we study laziness, atzlus, in chapter 26. But for now, what do I see when I look at an ant? I see a creature that doesn't just do what it must do or is forced to do, but accomplishes superhuman, super ant things. It can gather hundreds of times what it needs. It can lift many times its own body weight because God gives it energy. What is exceptional about an ant is its zrizus, its readiness at every moment to take action and to do more if it's able. So it gathers, as the Talmud teaches, bushels of grain and food in its lifetime, even though it itself, any one ant, doesn't live very long and only needs a couple of grains or kernels to fulfill its needs. An ant builds an anthill with multiple levels to insulate and preserve the food in the middle for moisture. An ant never touches the grain that's collected by another ant, despite having a drive for collecting. So by always standing ready, by always being emotionally ready to act, so to speak, the ant maximizes the energy that God gives it and uses it all, and it accomplishes astonishing things. That's what I can learn from looking at an ant. I don't need to worry a little more sleep, a little more rest, that I won't have enough, or that other people are winning what ought to be mine. God has enough for us all. Enough stuff, enough sustenance, enough energy. I need to be ready and willing to put the energy to work. What I learn from an ant is not to hoard. What I learn from an ant is to be cheerful, ready, and willing to take action. I stand ready to do as much as you will grant me energy to do. Verse 9. Ad mosai atzel tishkav. How long will you lie there, lazy one? Mosai takum mishnasecha. When will you rise up from your sleep? Once you wake up, get up. There's work to do. You've been given an opportunity to do it. There's so much in our life that we cannot do. Often, it's when we're young, dependent, asleep, or unwell that we most realize what a privilege it really is to be granted the ability, the energy, and the opportunity to do. Masai takum mishnasecha, get up from your sleep. Move to a mindset where even your sleep, your total inactivity, becomes constructive and productive, because then your weakness, your inability, is your strength and contribution. And the moment that you do have the energy, you're ready to go and ready to make a contribution. Verse 10, Me'at shinos, me'at tenumos, me'at chibuk yadayim lishkav. A little sleep, a little more drowsing, a little more folding the hands to rest. Verse 11, Uva chimhalech reshecha. Your poverty will come like a traveler, umachsorcha ke'ish magen, and you're lost like a shield bearer. Verse 12, Adam blial ish oven, a lawless person is an iniquitous person. Holech ikshus peh, he goes with crookedness of the mouth. Verse 22, Behis halechecha tanche osach, b'shach becha tishmor alecha. As you go forth, the Torah will guide you. As you lay down, it will protect you. V'hakitzosa, he sesichecha, and when you awake, it will converse with you. It can be hard to embrace that level of vulnerability, that level of powerlessness and helplessness. It's not a given that God will let me move, see, or even think. Going to sleep can open my mind to a lot of real, true anxiety as I come to grips with the fact that I'm in God's hands entirely. I might want to drown that out with TV, with music, with sleeping pills, alcohol, marijuana, anything, so that I don't hear the anxiety in my mind, so that I can just pass out unconscious. That doesn't make the anxiety go away, of course, nor does it make my sleep productive. Maybe I could choose to step bravely forward into it, to embrace it. In the classic prayer, Adon Olam, traditionally sung in the synagogue, but also before going to sleep at night, we say, Beyado afkid ruchi, and to his hand I entrust my spirit, ve'es ishon ve'aira, at the time when I go to sleep and when I wake up, ve'im ruchi gviosi, and together with my spirit, my body also, Hashem li ve'lo ira, God is with me, He is on my side. He is at my side. I will not be afraid. Behishalechecha tanche osach. As you walk forward, Torah will be there leading you. Beshachbecha tishmor alecha. As you lay down, Torah will protect you. Vahakitzosa hisisichecha. And when you wake up again, it's there to dialogue. Thank you for learning together with me. Le'ilui nishmas Malka Esther bas Tzvi Yosef.